This is CliffCentral.com.
How are you, Justice?
All good, all good. How are you guys?
Good. We have lots to talk about this morning. Do you want to get straight into it, or do you want to catch your breath?
We have several jobs, you guys, going on.
I know we do. We have lots to do. But we were just wrapping up a discussion here around what you put on WhatsApp and what you put on Google and how much Mark Zuckerberg knows about you on Facebook.
Ooh, that whole story with the UK company.
Yeah, Cambridge Analytica.
You know, and the thing is, it's such a global phenomenon. It's all of us.
Well, they don't know anything about you, because some people in South Africa don't know everything about you.
There's so much that people don't know about
me. All right, it's time for the Burning Platform, which is brought to you by Nando's. Every week we catch up with Justice Malala and we find out what his take is on some of the most important issues of the week. And we have a whole agenda for you this morning. So let's get straight into it. We usually rate these stories in Nando's terms. So we start with the lemon and herb, then we go to the mild, then we go to the hot, then we go to the very hot. So I think the very hot this week is that the National Assembly has developed and adopted a political party funding bill. Now, this is very interesting. I don't know how this got as far as it did, because you would think the political parties would have wanted to keep their funding as secret as possible.
Yeah, no, it's all go. You know, this... For years and years, you know, it's been amazing on Twitter, huh? On Twitter's amazing. It's fantastic. But one of the things about social media and so forth is that, so this week, you might have noticed it's here, I had a bit of a Barney.
You were having a serious argument with Julius Malema.
Trending at number 19.
He called me a clown.
He called you a clown, yeah. Julius Malema called you a clown.
Fantastic. Oh. So one of the things that happens is that people start, you know, responding, people jump in, and, you know, it's a mess. But one of the things that people did, someone sent a picture of Julius Malema sitting with Mikey Schultz and
Mazzotti.
And Mazzotti, who's alleged to be funding him and so forth. Now, Mazzotti's a tobacco guy and so forth and so forth. But all these stories start doing the rounds that you see that he's with this guy and so forth and so forth. And the big question is, well, if Mazzotti's funding the EFF and Julius Malema, why is he doing it? Out of the goodness of his heart, is Julius a good guy? And maybe he is, and so forth and so forth. But same thing with, did Mazzotti give some money to the Nkosazana campaign to run against Cyril Ramaphosa up to December last year? Or who's funding the DA, and why do they stand for certain things and don't stand for certain things?
And we don't know, because it's a shadowy world.
It's a shadowy world.
And one individual, if they're worth a lot of money, could... decide the direction policy-wise
exactly.
of a whole party.
You know, I could bang the EFF a bit of cash, give the DA a bit of cash, and suddenly when the policy legislation comes to parliament, everyone says, no, it don't happen, because, you know, I've prepared them that, no, maybe this tobacco legislation or maybe that, da, 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 and so forth and so forth.
Right.
And nothing happens.
So usually, I mean... Even in America, they deal with this. They're lobbyists and they're powerful lobbies, like
exactly.
the gun lobby or the tobacco lobby.
Exactly.
And these guys do. They fund the parties, and then the representatives vote in their favor when it comes to certain bills.
Yeah. So this one, it's been a long time coming. And it's been a long time coming because the ANC has always said, no, let's not do it. The DA has always said, yeah, no, I understand where the ANC is coming from. So actually you had a cabal in parliament of political parties, all the big political parties saying, no, I don't want people to know that, you know, Mabale is funding my political party or Gareth is funding. And so they ganged up. It never went anywhere. The ANC seems to have started... have a change of heart a bit.
Well, aren't they first of all bankrupt?
Well,
isn't that part of the problem?
The ANC goes bankrupt and then makes a bit of money and then goes bankrupt. It depends on when an election year comes along. So in 2016, they went bankrupt. They seem to have a bit of money because there are some murmurings that the ANC wants to. Have an early election. So you know, you don't start talking about an early election if you don't have money to fund that early election. Anyway, so The ANC sort of had a change of heart. The DA has agreed to it. It was interesting for me. It was the EFF in this instance saying, and they objected to this bill, objected particularly to a clause, I think it was Section 10, that said that, no, you can't just give me money. They said, but we want guys to be able to just give us money. And the clause says you've got to give it only for political purposes. Not, you can't just say, ah, here's a little gift and that's it. It's got to be straight up like that.
So you're telling me the only party that had a problem with this was the EFF?
Yeah, yeah. No, the DA said, I can't remember who the MP was, said, I've been raising money for the DA for 20 years. Only one person asked me for a favor and I asked them to get lost. You said that and said, ah, and then they said, but we agree with it. You can go ahead. I must say, these funders are quite something. Yeah? The ones, the DA ones, they didn't ask for anything. Anyway, so the EFF was the only one which objected. But it passed and it's going to the NCOP. Mm-hmm. And after that, it will go to the president and he should sign it into law.
Well, let's celebrate. This is good for everybody.
This is good for
transparency. Right?
It's very, very good. You won't sit there not knowing why a political leader is suddenly taking on a position. Is it because they've been given a little something, or is it because they actually believe in that policy? And so that's great.
You mentioned your fight with Julius on Twitter, which you didn't start. You just wrote an article about the EFF and the way that they're behaving and kind of whether that fits into democratic style of political to-ing and fro-ing, but you've had to take a lot of other criticism from other people on Twitter, and he's obviously taken a lot of criticism as a result. But you haven't spoken to him at all this week, have you?
No, I haven't. I mean,
Take any of this personally when he calls you a clown?
Oh, no, I don't. I sometimes I sit there with frustration because, you know, Julius is such a good, an amazing raconteur, an incredible speaker. And so you take yesterday, for example, he stands up in PE and gives this amazing long speech. But he is so full of contradictions. So he speaks about Jacob Zuma in KwaZulu-Natal, and he says Cyril is not a leader. Look at Jacob Zuma, he arrives in KwaZulu-Natal and he can't move, people are around him. He says, you see, a leader attracts people, and he says Cyril is not. This is the same guy who just a few weeks ago was saying, oh, Zuma must go, he's this, he's that, and so
yeah, but he was also the guy who said he'd die for Zuma.
Exactly, so he's a mass of contradictions.
Sorry, not die, he would kill.
He'd kill for Zuma. Yeah. So he's a mass of contradictions, and I look at it and I think, ah, well, it's part of it. I mean, for me, it's what's dangerous is this. Is whether he actually understands the power he wields, the influence he wields over his supporters, and how so many of them are prepared to go a little further. So you take the EFF ground forces in Soweto, and they'll send you a video saying, oh, Sizogubulala, we'll do this. No, and it's what's going on? But I'm also interested in, you know, Julius Malema goes after people. So he'll say, Justice Malala is a pseudo-intellectual, Prince Mashele is whatever he is. And then he will say, Firial Hafeji, she earns two salaries. When it's a woman, It's always a little bit more
personal,
misogynistic. You know, it's, oh, Karen Mon is a woman. Why is she earning whatever she's earning at where she's moved to Times Live?
Yeah.
Why is Ranjani Munisami being paid more than $1 million for whatever she's writing? And you know, when it's women, it has an edge to it, which I find very, very disturbing. And I think he needs to be called out on that. I think one of the things that does make Julius Malema very, that brands him and puts him in that fascist corner, is that there is no other view, there is no other opinion, there is no other assessment of what he's doing except for what he says he's doing. So if anyone stands up against him, they're out. If anyone in the public space, in the media, stands up against him, then it's, you are either working for the whites or for the this or for the that.
And even in his own party, they've got a huge turnover of MPs in there. They've got like 60% of them have been replaced from when they took their seats.
So. Yeah. Yeah,
if you disagree with him in the party, you're also out.
You're also out. And Dalimpofu says, no, we are rotating our young leaders. You know, we've got leaders. We want to give them experience.
The EFF is Julius Malema, and Julius Malema is the EFF.
And I think that's something to reflect on for that party. So it's a, I don't think he's going to stop. I think he's going to continue. But for me, what lies behind it? One thing is, Jacob Zuma is gone, and Jacob Zuma gone leaves a major, massive hole in the ability of the EFF to mobilize. And so you need other, you need to grow new enemies, new targets. You could do it by focusing on poverty, on the land issue, which is doing quite well in some instances. But you need a message. You need a message of change. But I don't think he's quite managed to find what that is, and so he's panicking. He's running around trying to find an enemy, and so it's the media. I mean, the speech last night, he went at ENCA for, you know, well over 10 minutes, and it's, what's this about?
But maybe he's learned some of this from Donald Trump.
Look, I mean, a populist platform is not a bad thing. He's learned some of it from Donald Trump, and Donald Trump has made
it. Donald Trump goes on these rants about CNN.
It's CNN, New York Times.
It's like straight out of the playbook.
Yeah, and this is what it is. And I just hope that no one, I thought he moderated his language actually last night when he said, no, we'll take them on, it's a battle of ideas and so forth and so forth. Well, great and good. Let's have that battle of ideas. I'm very happy to have
that. He means is, if you don't like my idea, we'll harass you.
We'll harass you. And that's a big problem.
All right. So what's going to happen in Nelson Mandela Bay today? Because today's D-Day for Ethel Trollope, isn't it?
Yes. It starts at 8 o'clock. The EFF has put a motion forward saying, the DA and Ethel Trollope needs to leave the mayoral office. Julius Malema and the EFF have been very, very vocal about this. This is their thing. They're going to get rid of, as he said to Ethel Trollope, to cut the throat of whiteness in Nelson Mandela Bay. And it's, what exactly is going on here? What do you want to do? But anyway, that act is to remove Ethel Trollope. There's a fly in the ointment for Julius Malema, and that fly in the ointment is that the AIC, which is that little small party that had black, green, gold, like the ANC.
Yeah, they called themselves one letter different.
AIC. Yeah. If you're an old geezer like me and you arrive in the ballot ballot box and you look and you say, I want my ANC, and they appear right there. You could have put your ex right next to AIC. So the AIC has one thing. It doesn't care about poverty or that. It wants Matatiele to fall into what, the Eastern Cape, the KZN. That's their issue. They don't want anything else. So they then...
That's all they want.
That's all they want.
That's their whole reason for existing.
That's their whole reason. When that's done, that's done. Thanks, bye, we're good.
They'll disband and go home.
So what they've done, so you take Mzwandile Masina in Ekurhuleni. He survives because AIC is in there with him. If AIC says, Baba, you... So they up to December, they'd been talking to Gwede Mantashe saying, Matatiele, solve Matatiele. If you solve Matatiele, we'll give you our support in Rustenburg, we'll give you our support in Ekurhuleni, and so forth and so forth. The ANC keeps on saying, yeah, we're doing it. And then the ANC in the Eastern Cape says, no, we're not letting these people go now. And then it stalls. So overnight, the guys from AIC said, you see, ANC, you want us to vote with you and EFF and UDM and take Tolepo out. But what about Matatiele now? So the ANC is flapping about. No, we'll solve it. Come with us, we'll solve it. They say, nah. You know what? We're going to go with the DA on this one.
Mm.
So you now have a situation where Gayton McKenzie's Patriotic Alliance, the AIC, are saying, why should we be used by the ANC and the DA and the EFF to get rid of this guy? Actually, we're okay with Athol Tolem. So when the vote comes through, council starts at 8 o'clock. You may find that actually Julius Malema doesn't win it. And that meeting he had, that rally he had yesterday in the evening, was straight after he'd met with the ANC. But he didn't arrive and said, guys, the ANC says, yes, we're doing this. Mm. We are with them. We're giving them the support and we're going to vote together. And it's going to. The ANC seems divided as well. That do we want to come to power via these guys who could any minute, given Julius' preponderance for changing his mind, are we going to allow him to hold power over us like this and then drop us in 3 months or 5 months?
So what would the political capital cost be for Julius if he doesn't pull this off? Because this is his... I mean, they made it... Maybe it was a bad calculation on his part, but he really threw everything at this. If this doesn't work, it kind of cuts him off at the knees.
It's been song and dance about this for months. Yeah. And suddenly he goes in there and he loses. You could see already yesterday he was saying, oh no, even if we don't win it, we'll keep on going for Athol Tolem.
And this one, it has a very personal and very racist kind of undertone as well, which doesn't help. So if he loses on this basis...
If he loses this one, particularly the racial element to it. So he says that he doesn't hate white people. He loves black people, and that's great for him. But when it comes to Athol Tolep, you'll remember the tweet that he posted in which he said, it's so nice that it's a black child. I can't remember the exact word, but that it's so nice that it's a black child telling you what to do, and I think he said, you're going out, white man. Mm-hmm. So the racial tinge to this has been huge, and it will be quite something if he didn't get it, because all that bravado, all that bluster, all that racial incitement even will have come to naught, and you know, he'll have to maybe be a little bit more humble than he's been in the past. But his run, I think one of the things he did was to speak a lot, say a lot of stuff without having done the work properly. When it's Gayton McKenzie's party and the AIC that hold the whip hand and you haven't got them on board, I think...
Well, there's no love lost there.
There's no love lost there. But I think that he's on very thin ground.
Well, while we're talking about racists, let's talk about Vicky Momberg and your thoughts on her sentencing for using the K word 48 times. Can you imagine being the poor, unfortunate person who had to sit through that tirade and count the number of K words?
Oh, no, it's just.
And she was completely unrepentant right to the end. Huh?
Right to the end. But I think the important thing here is that for the first time in South Africa, someone has been sentenced to jail time for racial insults like this. And I think that's a good thing. For so long, people have felt frustrated that they can't. Is, you know, you go and get a little fine here, it's a slap on the wrist. And if we're serious about this, we need to put some meat to this thing. So I thought the magistrate was very good. I thought that given the lack of reflection by this person on what she was doing, these were good people. the cops arrive. These are good people. You know, they might be incompetent. There might be all sorts of things. They are good people. They come to help. There's been a smash and grab.
They have to be abused like this.
They have to be abused like this. Then a social worker sits down with her to...
Oh, yeah, this is a part I forgot. She was then abusive with the social worker.
With a social worker. I mean, that word you used, the lack of repentance, the lack of... You know, I mean, this
well,
is...
she's a... We used to call people like this assholes. She's just a total asshole. She's got malice aforethought in every engagement she has with a black person. And there's obviously some kind of psychological problem here, but I am concerned. I'm only concerned from the point of view that we've set a dangerous precedent where someone, if they interpret the courts, and the court's always open to interpretation, but if they interpret Justice Malala or Gareth Cliff or Ben or Mabali or Sia as having said something that's offensive and incendiary... Which you shouldn't really be jailed for that. I mean, this is there's a whole different level of abuse going on here, and I understand why people want to see this woman put in jail. I want to see her taken out of society in as many ways as possible too. But it does worry me that when you give this power, now suddenly we're going to have everybody on the right saying, well, shouldn't Julius be taken to court for every utterance he's made? And I would rather know where these people are. I would rather have them speak freely in society so we know who our enemies are.
I agree. I think...
Jail?
I think jail. I'll tell you why. I think, yes, we have to interpret the laws in certain ways. But I think we know when someone uses that word, what they mean. I think that there is absolutely no reason to use it. Then you say, and this has been a response that I've had several times since yesterday, and it's what about Julius? And I mean, the quote earlier, we spoke about Julius and, you know, cutting the throat of whiteness comes up and so forth. Now, I think every case should be looked at on its merits. I think that Julius has actually been in court once already for speechifying of this nature. But I think in the case of Vicky Momberg, the facts are so clear. They take a word that all of us know from our history is absolutely, there is no charged question about it. But you and I think, are in the same WhatsApp groups, the same WhatsApp group on where do you stop? And where do you stop is when the powers that be or the powers that could be, where, let's say, Mangosuthu Buthelezi wins the election and becomes president of South Africa, does he then use this judgment to go after Gareth Cliff because Gareth Cliff said, oh, you know, I think that...
Hereditary monarchy is a problem.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Or this cabinet is full of morons or so forth.
You know, this is, again, and I mean, it reminds me of that Penny Sparrow issue that we had 2 years ago. And this is a nobody. I mean, she should be a nobody. And she shouldn't be... She doesn't hold political power. Of course, she is representative of a class of people who think a certain way. And that's massively, massively difficult for our country to just push aside and ignore. But this is not a person who wields the sort of influence that a political leader might.
No.
And if we had had this judgment in favor of the people, but against someone who was wielding political power, I think it would have spoken about how you shouldn't be able to abuse the public confidence. It would have been about how you shouldn't. There are certain standards for behavior.
Yes. I mean, I think we can have those conversations about, say, Julius Malema or someone else. But I think you'd agree with me, Gareth. Here you have an individual whose transgression is very specific. And I would be cautious of using her or her case as an example of overreach, even of our laws. I think her case is so specifically horrendous, and her sentence is specifically harsh, and I think the two match each other. And what would be a danger, and what is dangerous, is when people take that and say, Julius, you did this, and then we are going to go after you on the basis of this. And I think that's where checks and balances on our democracy, this is where the institutions become important. Because right now, you and I could be, if Sean Abraham stays in office, you and I are open to being charged using this as an excuse that if she went to jail for this, why are you allowing Gareth Cliff to say, but, you know, people can say walla 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 walla. Yeah.
If that, we've said this, maybe we've both said things about the former president.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So this is where it's very easy to tip over into that fear that you express. And I don't know, you know, I don't want to make Vicky Momberg is not who we are. It's not who the majority of South Africans are. It's not what the majority of white people are. She is Vicky Momberg, and she should go down for what she did and said and the hurt she has caused. And so what we need to be careful is to keep it that way and not become a country that's now going to go out and I'm gonna check under Mabale's bed, is there a racist under here, and they must get 2 years. Because once you go that way, you're in.
But you're speaking as someone reasonable. There are a lot of unreasonable people in the world who will use these kinds of situations to lionize her as a kind of a hero for them.
Yeah.
On one side, here's an honest woman. You can imagine
racists
saying that. You can also imagine the other side, people saying, right, this is open season now, and everyone who disagrees with me, I'm going to go out and find reasons to have these people convicted.
Yeah, and I think that's where...
Yeah, essentially, that's Orwell's thought crime stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, here she was very open about her racism, which I got to say is refreshing in a world where there's so much euphemism and in a world where so many people, and by no means am I saying I like it, but in a world where everybody has to look for the indirect racism, this woman is like an open racist, and we haven't seen one of those for a long time. Right? Do we know what we're dealing with?
I think we've got an idea, but at least yes, and we can. That is what's good. You can then sentence on the basis of what you have in front of you.
Well, I mean,
evidence there. I mean, it's all there. It's like it's.
I mean, here are two people who neither of whom I have a lot of respect or time for. All right, David Bullard and Andile Mlitama. Oh, listen to this interchange between the two of them, because it illustrates the point very nicely. Mm. Bullard says, off to lunch today on a stolen land wine farm with fellow white land thieves, and we'll be served by cheerful and efficient black slaves who seem to enjoy their work and earn a good tip. That's reality. So, obviously offensive and revolting, as you'd expect.
And then
Andile replies, that's why I like you, Mdavo. You are my kind of racist, not the fucking bleeding heart liberals like Jeremy Cronin and Derek Hanekom. They believe what you believe, only they think we don't know. They really think blacks are doerse. We need more whites like you. You see,
these
are the real racists. I mean, look at what we're dealing with. But those are the people in the extremes. Let's just remind ourselves the world is not filled with those people and with Vicky Mombergs.
Oh, I was having such a good morning.
Now, what's the real occasion for the spoil of Ben's liter of gin? My Inverush. This is very, very fancy.
That's very fancy.
Mub's got a bottle of very fine single malt whiskey.
A liter of gin. Like 750 is like I like you, but a liter, Justice, this is the next level.
Go big or go home, son. That's what I thought. No, I just thought, you know, guys, Ace Magashule is finally leaving the Free State.
Oh, okay. Is that the reason?
That's the reason. And I thought, you know, he invited people. He put aside 20 million rand.
Yes.
And told civil servants in the Free State, take the day off. In fact, don't take the day off. 9 o'clock, check into your desk and then get on a bus and come to, what was the name of the stadium? Come to the stadium and let's go for it. We're going to have a party.
And 20 million rand farewell.
20 million rand farewell. Now, I don't know how many people turned up. I saw pictures of the stadium. It looked empty to me. But what was fascinating for me is that you got, you know, those polystyrene takeaway thingies, boxes, and you got two kind of hot dog rolls.
Please say they weren't poloni.
No, there was no poloni, shame. Come on. A leg of a drumstick, and that was it. And I thought, 20 million for this? What's going on? 20 million rand. Even David Mabuza had to stop and say, what's going on here? He was speaking in parliament saying, 20 million rand. Mm. We don't have the money. But Ace Magashule went and did it. And
now he's permanently the Secretary General in Johannesburg, so he's got bigger fish to fry. But didn't he also, he's been fingered in some kind of horrible deal where his daughter got a special tender.
So this was in Bethlehem. Mm. There was the building of 1,000 houses for...
That's near where Mabale's people are.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't going to raise this. But,
it's a 40-minute drive from Kwak. It is.
Mabale, thank you so much. You know, I feel close to power just by knowing you. So the people of Bethlehem are going to get houses and so forth. The initial, the premier, Ace Magashule, goes and makes a song and dance about it. It's all going to happen. It's all going to go. But then it doesn't happen. And then a company called Unit Al, major shareholder is a certain Mr. Lee, is introduced into the deal by Ace Magashule and his MEC for human settlements at the time. And they say, no, this is the man, he's going to do it. And there's nice pictures of them, you know, what do they call it? Turning the sword or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, sword turning ceremony and boom. It's all go. Well, first of all, the houses are just a little bit shoddy. But Mr. Magashule doesn't declare that my daughter has 30% ownership of this business.
Hmm.
And it goes on.
And she wasn't the one mixing the concrete.
No, she wasn't. She sat at the back. Hmm. But clearly keeping an eye out for things. Anyway, they had a target of so many houses. They've only built just over half. The houses, some of them are falling apart a bit. But basically, the 150 million rand has been paid, and 30%, I would assume, has gone to Ace Magashule's daughter. And he never declared, she never declared, and he was the champion of this project and the champion that this company must get it. It's basically me saying, Ben's company is going to do all this work, but not declaring that, you know, my daughter owns 30% of Ben's company, and I'm going to make a bit of cash out of this. That is what the past 20 years of Ace Magashule in the Free State has meant. A little something here for you, a little something there for me. As Julius Malema pointed out yesterday, a child died a week and a half ago in the Eastern Cape, and that child died from falling into a pit latrine. So we can take 20 million rand, have a party for a departing leader, but we say there's no money to build toilets in Bizana, in Limpopo. There are 24,000 schools, government schools in South Africa. 8,000 of them have inadequate toilets. but we can find 20 million rand to have a party. So I thought, you know, it's also depressing. Let me bring Ben a bottle of gin so, you know, we can drown our sorrows right now, immediately after the show.
It's very considerate of you, yeah. Justice. Thank you.
Great. Long weekend. Extra
yeah, happy
15
Easter.
Mils of gin needed.
Happy Easter, Justice. This is
happy
great.
Happy Easter, guys.
This is CliffCentral.com.